Welcome, welcome. Glad to see everybody here. Today is Tim Singh. But I got to get my glasses. All right, we had Adult Sunday School. And then we have Gleaners on Wednesdays. Be here by 10:55, 11 o'clock. They open the gates. And I think the food goes fast. We have prayer meeting on Wednesdays. If you go to the web page, you can log in on the web page, and it'll go right to prayer meeting. It'll take you right to Zoom as long as you have Zoom listed on your computer. And today is potluck. We have turkey and ham and mashed potatoes and gravy and dressing and all kinds of good stuff. So stay even if you didn't bring anything. And Spring Connection, the Ladies Spring Connection, is coming up. So if you are interested, see Donna, because I know that some are going to be, and there's flyers on the table. I have one other thing. I had got a letter today, well, not today, but this week in the mail from the people that do our shoeboxes, because it's time to think of, we can still think shoeboxes even if it's a long time till Christmas, but they have the fact count for 2023, and I thought it was really interesting. We gave 38 shoeboxes here. The banks where I take it to, the drop-off was 1,697. That's how many the different churches had given there at the banks one. They take it into Northwest Oregon, and it had 15,718. For the United States, the total was 10,051,570. And their total was 11,330,126. So, and it says, I'm going to post this, but you can read that they said your boxes, because they were trucked to Denver, could be going to Mongolia, Philippines, Madagascar, El Salvador, Thailand. I can't read what that is. Somewhere Mexico. Native American tribes in New Mexico, Mali, federal states of Madagascar, Pacific Islands, and more. So I just thought that was very fascinating. We were a little short from last year. Year before that, we'd given 41, and this year we gave 38. But it's such a great organization and a great way to just share Jesus. So I just wanted you to get a feed for it so we're ready for next year, because I love doing it. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, we are just praising you today. We praise you for the snow. We praise you for the dry, not dry, but wet roads instead of ice. We thank you for the beautiful scenery that you can give us just with the snow. Thank you, Lord, that we have a place that we can come and worship you. Praise you, Lord Jesus, and just thank you for the many blessings that you give us. I just want to lift those that aren't here today up to you. I pray that they feel your touch and that they get to listen to you online, Lord, and just be blessed. We thank you for Pastor Teresa being here. We thank you for her sharing the word that you want her to share. And we just give you praise as we sing praises to you. In Jesus' precious name, we pray these things. Amen. So today is our hymn sing. So, what do we got? Sing a new song to the Lord. Oh, call to worship. I guess we better do that first. Let's stand at Psalms 98:1.
Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has done wonderful things. His right hand has won a mighty victory. His holy arm has shown his saving power.
So Debbie gave me the songs that we had sang before, and I'm just going to, oh, she has a thing up there? Oh, that's the numbers. Okay. Well, we can have a repeat. But we did sing Amazing Grace the last 2 months, so we could sing something different. Or not. If everybody wants to sing Amazing Grace, we'll sing Amazing Grace. Because it's whatever anybody wants. So everybody pick, somebody pick a song. 620. Joy Unspeakable. Yay!
I have found his graces all complete. He supplies every need. When I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free as free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory.
Glory, it is
joy unspeakable and full of glory of a heaven has never yet been told. I have found a pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing, I am saved from the awful guilt of sin. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is
joy unspeakable and
full of glory, and the half
has never yet been told.
I have found a home so bright and bleak, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see his smiling face. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory.
It's joy unspeakable
and full of glory of the heaven has never yet been told.
I have found the joy no tongue can tell,
how its waves of glory roll. It is like a great overflowing well springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory.
It is joy unspeakable and
full of glory, all the past
has never yet been told.
Okay.
7:25. We'll all be there. All the younger.
Yay! I love this one.
When the trumpet and the Lord shall come, and time shall be no more,
and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair,
when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather on the dome of the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll roll is called up yonder.
When the roll is called up yonder.
When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Let us labor for the master from the dawn till setting sun.
Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care.
Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done,
and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder,
when the roll is called up yonder,
when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Amen. Good.
361.
361.
I love to tell the story.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell a story. It did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat when seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell. to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungry and thirsty to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing a new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme and glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love.
Amen. 403.
I surrender all.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I I will never love and trust him in his presence daily. I surrender all. I surrender. Surrender all. to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee, fill me with thy love and power, let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Amen. You may be seated. We're not up.
Good morning, church. God bless you, those of you online. God bless each and every one of you watching with us or later during the week as you jump on. May the Lord give you a blessed week as he gives us all the blessings we need to make it through each week. So let us give back offering and tithes from the blessings he has given to us. And if you're watching online, you can always go to tithely.com. and give there, and you can link off the church website. Father, Lord, thank you for the myriad of blessings you have given us, the finances to make it through every week, every day, every month, the jobs for the finances, retirements for the same, retirement callings with which to use what you blessed us. We just thank you for the providence you give us in every way. Money, home, friends, family, and health. Amen. Checking online to see if there's any prayer requests that came that way.
Not yet.
Yep. So now's that time we get to share, and Fred just took right off. So let's just go. We don't need the whole runway. God can just take it right from start. Let's just go for it. Lifting up Joe and Ashley in their new house in Vernonia with Jacob and Aubrey, that they are getting settled in. Let them know, Lord, how much we love them. Absolutely. Anybody else? A prayer request or a praise? Wink. Ah, we'll take it. Wink is saying, thank you, Lord, for Judy Hesselgesser and Donna Marble, Angels Unaware, many times with their arms and feet ministering in this congregation. Thank you. Thank you, brothers. It's a hand be to Jesus, yes? Yes. We are his hands, we are his feet. We're not his mind per se, but we use ours here on earth. Yep. For his kingdom. Judy.
So I have some praises. My granddaughter's mother is doing better. She's not out of the hospital yet. I don't think she has some kind of autoimmune disease or something that they found. So they said her fingers would put up in a few months.
Oh my.
Yeah. So, and then I praise Gloria is doing better this week. She's more aware. She's still.
Okay. All right.
But other than that, you know, she's doing, but she's breathing better, she's getting oxygen better.
So Judy's lifting up two praises. One, Lori Cooper is making a little bit of improvement, having some better days. And then the second one is your granddaughter in law's grandmother. I got it right? Mother. Okay, I almost got it right. Your granddaughter-in-law's mother, they think they've figured out and diagnosed what the cause of all her problems were, that it's an autoimmune disease and should be able to improve. Okay.
She's feeling better.
She's feeling better, too. That's a huge thing. For those with autoimmune, that's a big, it's always a balance. It's a balance, a big balance. You have to keep right. Otherwise, everything else can either throw it off or suffer because of it. So I'd like to ask you to lift up Claire in prayer. She's at home really backed up and going through some colonics. So prayer for Sarah to help with that too. We tried to start it yesterday afternoon and she just threw up a whole bunch. So it's really tough for her right now. And then also on the 20th, Wednesday the 20th, is Claire's adenotonsillectomy. That's been delayed and delayed because of illness and other things. So hopefully, Lord, keep us healthy till the 20th. Keep us healthy, but definitely till the 20th. So, Rhonda. Rhonda's lifting up praise and a prayer request, all in one praise that her brother has been led to help her, helping with their dad, and prayer request that the things he needs to go get taken care of, if you're ready for that, will go smoothly so he can return. Anybody else? So Donna's lifting up speedy healing for Jeff, her son, who had a second ankle surgery to repair the repairs that were done. And prayer that there's not a repair surgery to repair the repairs that were done in the future. And the speedy healing will happen. Tony, were you stretching or did you have something to share? Okay, it's all right. Anybody else have something they'd like to share? Carolyn. Amen.
I'm also celebrating my sister's wedding.
Yep. my Aunt Chris got married, and that was on her birthday, her real birthday, since she's born on the 29th. So I praise that John put, decided to put up, no, I praise that she and John tied the knot. And happy birthday to that once every 4 year birthday and once every 4 year anniversary, I guess. Keeps you young that way, exactly. Or you could say you're doing really good for only being married 2 years. Something like that.
That's a local connection.
Years and years, yes. There's that local connection. So my dad's just praising God that his sister got married. Jeremy's going like this. Auntie got married. Absolutely. Bill.
Yes, update on Robert McDonald. Mm-hmm. He's doing well. The infection is under control. He's talked to him yesterday, and he appreciates the prayers, and so continue praying. Hopefully, we'll see him back to work here in April. Maybe the end of March, which would be a miracle, but more like April. Number two, the co-workers, I have to write her name down. It's Nolu Oyunde. She's 30 years old. She's had stage 4 breast cancer. They've got the cancer reduced, but there's other areas. But continue prayer for her and pray for that family. That family's amazing. And just continue prayer for them. So, Oyunde.
So, Bill's looking up a phrase for, was it Robert?
Yeah.
Robert at work. I heard you forgot the last name. Tell me again.
McDonald.
There we go. Robert McDonald, one of his co-workers at work, is making big improvement with his situation. And then also for the Oyunde family, another family at work where one of Bill's co-workers is fighting breast cancer to survive. So continued prayer for that family. Anybody else? I just want to thank God for a positive mid-year review in my first year of teaching, and I just want to thank God for amazing co-workers still. You don't always get that opportunity. You always get the opportunity to witness and be professional, but still, I am thankful, very grateful for the co-workers I have to work with. They make an amazing team.
Amen.
Yeah. It's huge. It's huge. All right. Let's go together as a family and thank God for what he's done and ask him for what we need him to do. Lord God, we just lift up this church body before your throne of grace. Help us transcend to your very throne right now all of the problems of this world. We know that you are God Almighty, creator of the universe, sustainer of our every breath, and giver of all the good things we need. And because of this, we can trust you. Thank you. We bring to your throne praises and we say, thank you, Lord, for what you have done. For good working environments, for healing in the minds and hearts and bodies of many. For the sustenance to go through the battles in health that have been spoken here today. For the vision to see when our eyes fail. To be able to listen quietly to you in prayer when our ears don't want to hear. For giving us 2 ears to listen to you before we speak. Lord, let all of the faculties we have, however strong or fail, always serve you. Lord, we praise you for Lori Cooper having a couple more lucid days, Lord, and we ask that you continue to work in Rhonda's family and bring her relief and her dad too. Lord, we thank you for the progress you continue to make with my father-in-law. We lift up the Oyendi family, Lord, for a miracle in their family. Thank you, Lord, for the McDonald family and healing happening there. Lord, we lift up a praise for amazing people you put in our lives at work and just where we go. Lord, we thank you that we get to be angels unaware to others and accept others as the same. Lord, we lift up deep and profound sorrows of those of us in our midst, Lord, who have suffered loss. Even this last week, we ask you comfort them with your great, overwhelming love brought from the Holy Spirit directly to our minds and heart as a balm of Gilead. Thank you, Lord. You give, you take away. Blessed is the name of the Lord who does both. Thank you, Lord. We trust you through those moments it doesn't make sense. And we praise you in everyone that does. And we praise you when it doesn't. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. The kids aren't here, but y'all right if I say a short prayer for them? And then we'll move on. All right. Father God, we just ask that you lift up the children of this congregation, the future that you have brought to your house. Lord, we lift up Dawson, Landon, Claire, we lift up Aubrey, and we lift up Jacob. Lord, Father God, in the lives of these children, keep them ever steadfast and true. And for all the grandchildren of those present here, we ask your same blessing. Lord, go before them. Make straight their paths. Remove temptations and hindrances from before them. And keep them on the straight and narrow for your righteousness' sake. Amen. All right.
Thank you, Pastor Ivan, for leading us in prayer. It's good to be in the house of the Lord where we can gather together as a body of believers and praise God and lift up our concerns to him. So, good morning, everyone. This time of year places us in the Lenten season, and Lent offers us that opportunity to pause and reflect on the life of Christ, especially those last days right before he is going to be crucified. Remember, that's his mission. His mission is to die, to be resurrected. And he's supposed to return. After returning to God, he's going to come back again in that appointed day and time to end all of time. Isn't that something? He has gone to heaven. And one day he's going to return. He's going to end time for all eternity. And we will just be with him. And when we think about Jesus' life, when we also need to be thinking about how we should be living in response. Because that's what Lent is all about. Yes, Jesus came. He did these things. He died for us. And how are you living your life? Because you do not want to have wasted his sacrifice, right? So how are we living in response to Christ and his work? So follow with me. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. 1 Corinthians out of chapter 1, which is probably not a usual place for a Lent sermon, but you'll see it's related. It's the words of Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to be reading the last part of that chapter, verses 18 through 30. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, and this is Paul quoting Isaiah 29, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. That's God speaking. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since God, in his wisdom, saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. Listen to what he says. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing that the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. God has united you with Christ. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Listen to what he says. He closes with this. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he has freed us from sin. Somebody say amen. I know, hallelujah. That's the best response. It's a mouthful of what Paul is stating here, and yet it's so simple. He's saying, stop trying to make this all a big thing, because it's not. It's quite simple. And this is what confounds people of the world. God is using the opposite of what we think is great and grand and spectacular and important to save all of us. Something so simple, something so pure, something so true. Not uber important with the people who have power, not uber important with the people who have all types of money and riches. He's just using a simple thing to save us all. And that's why Paul argues, it's the foolishness of God. The world sees him as being foolish, but guess what he has done in his foolishness? He has saved us all. Now, if you're like me, you may be tired from time to time when it comes to Sunday morning, because you've worked all this week. You've done your volunteering. You've gone to work for those who are still employed with an outside employer. We're doing all of our things. And by the time Sunday morning comes, you're like, okay, now why am I getting up early on a Sunday morning? Why am I doing this? When I could actually be getting some extra Z's right about now and let my TV watch me. My TV, by the way, Pastor Ivan watches me quite a bit. I try to act like I'm going to be watching stuff on TV, but when I sit down, I get my Z's, and so my TV ends up watching me. Why do we do this thing called church? Why do we come and sing these songs, read scripture, listen to a sermon, we pray together? Why do we do that? When you feel like what I've described, I want you to think about this passage of scripture that we just read. It gives us reasons why we should continue to believe in and share the message of the cross. It should motivate us to come together, to be with those who also share that same salvation and read scripture and sing songs and pray together and do the things that we do. Let this passage of scripture motivate you. The writer argues what seems to be a foolish thing to believe and pattern our lives after is actually God's very power and wisdom in our lives. It's important to note that when Paul wrote this first letter to the believers in the city of Corinth, that reason was the currency of that day. Society demanded great logic in belief. It would lead to great wisdom, and everybody everywhere wants power, right? That part hasn't changed, but particularly when Paul is writing, wisdom is the currency of the day. In order to be anybody who's anything and in society, you need to be seeking wisdom, knowledge, figuring out all the things. And knowledge then leads to power. And everybody wants power, right? If you were somebody, you were named among the great philosophers and debaters of that day. If you weren't known for your ability for public speaking and your persuasion skills, you were known for your social status because, you know, you had money or maybe you had political power. Those were the things that were important to people back then. But it's funny because you say to yourself, yeah, well, actually, none of that has really changed. We still are the same, right? I mean, yeah, we have modern technology and science that led us to vaccinations and treatment of diseases. We have cell phones and computers. We've got satellites. But at the root of it all is this notion, really, of wisdom and power. We want to know things so that we can control those things, which then leads us to living our best lives, right? That's why we have people right now planning to go to the moon. Again, why? Because knowledge is power. And we're racing other countries to get there first and do the next biggest thing. Our sin nature ends up corrupting those two things of wisdom and power, which is evidenced, of course, by what's happening in our world today. Again, not much has changed from biblical times. It's a race to know all the things, discover what's in outer space, discover what's under the surface of the seas. I don't know if you've read any articles, scientific ones, that talk about just how deep our oceans are. There's so much space that we haven't even gotten to the bottom because it's too deep for any of our instruments to record. You can only go so far deep. Same thing with outer space, right? We can only go so far and see so many things. And yet, God has been so good and great to us because we've been able to discover things. Oh, it's just fascinating, this universe in which we dwell. Absolutely fascinating. But for humans, usually more knowledge means we're trying to own the things. And then when we own them, we want to sell it to this person for XYZ amount of money and thereby control all the things, people as well as the things. And so that's the unfortunate part of our sin nature, which is why we need the message of the cross. So let's talk about the message of the cross? Why is it foolish to the people on this planet? And yet, for those who know, it's not foolish at all. This message of the cross seems foolish to non-believers because of who we want people to be. We have a different goal when we do not know God, right? But those who know God know the truth. And so I get it. I get why people of the world laugh at us and make fun of us. You know, I mean, just look at the story. Just look at the story of Jesus, right? We actually want people to believe that he was miraculously born. Now, everybody knows, third graders even know where babies come from, right? And yet, we want them to believe that Mary somehow, her egg spontaneously fertilized itself. And now she has this baby boy named Jesus. and on top of that, we, you know, just on top of his origins, Jesus' origins, we want people to believe that he also lived a life without sin. And even those who don't believe in God know that there's nobody who's perfect. And so they even like roll their eyes at that. Okay, so first of all, he came here miraculously. And he didn't sin like the rest of us. That's impossible. But then also, he died this horrible and shameful death. Only to be resurrected. Now, you really wanted me to believe that he died and then he came back to life? Oh, and now he's gone, so now no one can tell that he really did rise from the dead? So where's the proof that he actually rose from the dead? Oh, but we have to tack on this important part, Wink, is the piece that we tell people that he's actually going to return one day. Not to mention, like a fairy tale ending, he's going to be a prince riding on a white horse. Now, see, even Sister Donna's smiling at me like, yeah, that is kind of hard to believe, ain't it? Yeah. But see, but you have to understand, though, the prince on the white horse actually began with God. It didn't begin with the fairy tales. So, but, you know, true human fashion, when we come on the scene, it's always about us. So, of course, none of those things existed until we got here and made up those stories. Okay, whatever. So, yeah, okay. But that's the argument, right? This is why the message of the cross is so foolish to normal people, right? Why do you want me to believe this fairy tale story? The message is foolish because it's not useful. I was reading a commentary, and I said, oh, that's a good point. It's not because they don't want to believe in a miracle. It's not because they don't want to believe that someone could live a perfect life and someone would be willing to die for them so that they could then have a restored relationship with God. That's not hard for people to believe. It's hard because the message isn't quite useful for today's everyday living. Lots of people are not willing to wait for a prince on a horse to save them. Because, Rhonda, hello, I can just do it myself. Why would I be waiting for someone to come and help me? I could pay somebody to do it. I could go online, YouTube, and figure out how to do it myself. I don't need nobody to save me, right? And then we can build our own armies to conquer our enemies. And if I can't build my own army, we'll do like what's happening in the case of Ukraine. I'm going to reach out to my friends, my allies, and they're going to bring their armies and help me win this war over my enemy. So what is it exactly that Jesus is offering? Because the message of the cross doesn't speak to other areas of life because, okay, maybe you're not waging a war on your enemy. Or maybe you don't need things fixed around your house. But we all are looking for five steps to a happier marriage or a happier relationship, right? We all want 10 top ways to get your dream job. Like, everybody wants those types of tips and things. And so when you read about the message of the cross, you're like, that doesn't quite equate to what I need right now. I don't need whatever that Jesus dude is offering. So the message of the cross doesn't really speak to those things, or so people can't see it speaking to those areas. And don't talk about church worship service. We live in a time, there was a group of us, we had this conversation a couple Sundays ago, maybe, about how this day and age wants to be entertained. So if your worship service doesn't meet the need of that thrill-seeking soul, they're not likely to return to your church. They'll come because maybe their friend of theirs invited them, or they have family. Oh, we're going to go to church with grandma today. Okay, but if it's not entertaining, they probably are not going to come back again. There really isn't anything entertaining about the cross. It did make a good story, though, because there are miracles in Jesus' life. There's friendships and there's betrayal. And at the end of it all, it's about self-sacrifice, because that's what Jesus ends up doing, right? Here he is, this loving man. He's compassionate. He cares for the people. He forgives them of their sins. He heals them of their illnesses. He cries over them. He prays for them. And at the end of the day, even as righteous as he was, as kind as he was, as compassionate as he was, he ends up getting killed like a common thief. So yeah, the story itself is kind of entertaining, but the message of the cross, not that entertaining. Because who wants to sacrifice their self? There's not going to be a lot of hands raising on that one. Jesus' life is about living humbly and walking with God, loving God and loving the people around us. So that's not very exciting or entertaining. So if the message of the cross doesn't speak then to the wisdom that people are looking for, or to the entertainment that people want today, how is it, you've got to be asking yourself, how is it the power and the wisdom of God that shows up in our lives of those who actually believe? Because we are in this modern world. We're no different than the people across the street, the people down the road, the people in the tavern next door. We're no different from them. So how is it that we have this power and this wisdom from the message of Christ on the cross? The message of Christ crucified is the realization of God's faithfulness and his power. The fact that Jesus did come and lived among us, suffered for us, and died for us, that actually, number one, shows us that God is faithful. God is who he says he is. We talked about this before. God made a promise standing right before Adam and Eve when they sinned. He said to the enemy of our souls that one day, because he was the one who deceived Adam and Eve, he said that one day he was going to send someone to bruise his head. Jesus is the answer to that promise. His birth, life, death, his resurrection demonstrates God's power. Jesus overcame death, which on earth is the most powerful thing, because it doesn't matter how much social status you have. You could be the president. You could be the president of our organization. You could be the great-great-grandmother of 25 great-grandchildren. You could be married or divorced. You could have a lot of money in the bank or no money in your pockets at all. It doesn't matter what your age is. Death comes for the young and the old, for the rich and the poor, for men and women, and all in between. None of that matters. It doesn't matter what country you live in, what language you speak. Death is going to come for you. It's the one power that no one can do anything about. And so it's so fascinating to see in society how we keep trying to conquer death. We have all of these beauty creams, Sister Carolyn, that people like to buy. And we go on these special diets so that we can be healthy. At the end of the day, Brother Dennis, what's going to happen? You're going to die. I don't care how many miles you run. I don't care all the vegetables you eat. And all of you who have that list of don'ts, well, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do this, I don't do that. Guess what? You still going to die. So I feel like you should die happy. Okay, so I'm going to have my Girl Scout cookies. Thank you very much. Wink and Phyllis for bringing those. Because you're going to die. You all are going to die. Even the people Jesus and other prophets healed and raised from the dead. Remember, it happened back in the Old Testament. We saw Elisha, the prophet, raise someone from the dead. We saw Jesus raise one of his homies, Lazarus, from the dead. But guess what? Lazarus went back to the grave. All the people that Jesus healed, eventually they got sick again of something else. And they died. Eventually, they died. Jesus, however, was resurrected by God himself, and he is still alive. God gave power to Jesus to overcome death and the enemy of our souls. That's where the power is. The message of the cross is therefore the power of God. That power lives inside of those who believe. It's the power that helps us grow in our faith, do the works that God has planned for us, and helps us to walk humbly with God. That's the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. If he had not died, if he had not been resurrected, if he had not done those things, we would not have the power of God in our lives. All through the Holy Spirit. Now let's talk about the wisdom that the message of the cross brings. Because we talked about the power. Let's talk about the wisdom. Because Paul says it's power and wisdom in our lives. So I have to quote Pastor James Lawrence. He pastors in South Carolina, the First Lutheran Church there in that city, Albemarle. This is what Pastor James says, I really like it. Since the world did not know God through wisdom, God had to find another way. You can't think your way to salvation, in other words. We can't learn our way to heaven. Wisdom, insight, intelligence, these are good, of course, but they will never save us. Sometimes, they might even get in the way. Education, money, power, all of these things can get in the way because they can tempt us to trust ourselves. And that's pretty much what Paul was saying. All of your education, and I think back to my years growing up in church, hearing one of my old pastors say it, even my mother would say it, you got a lot of educated fools on the world. A lot of educated fools. You know, they done got the PhD and the certificate and this and that and the BA and the BS and all the things, all the letters after their names. And just useless, Brother Wayne, just as useless. Why you get all that education? And you didn't do what the Bible says. In all you're getting, get an understanding, is what Scripture says. But you just feel so good because you got this and you got that. And now you're relying on yourself for the answers. And that's why we keep looking to other people. Well, they have a PhD in this. What's the top 10 ways to... For real? Really? Have you tried Jesus? Are you allowing the Spirit to work in your life to give you understanding, to give you wisdom, to show you which way to go? Because all the things on the top 10 list, probably not the best for you. Could be helpful, but ultimately, is it just a temptation to trust yourself and not trust God? So allow me to further break it down what our good brother is saying. You can't reason yourself into God's kingdom. Because God, I've said it before, God's not impressed by your PhD. He's not impressed by your teaching certificate. He doesn't care that you have a CPR certification. None of that impresses him. He needs you to give your heart to him. He wants you to be in relationship with him. So it's not your reasoning and your thinking about God. That's what's going to save you. No, no, no. It's your relationship with God. So your human wisdom, your wit, your ability to acquire knowledge won't earn your salvation. Your education and your lived experience might hinder your ability to believe the message of the cross because you're trying to conflate all the things that you know about the world with what God is trying to show you and reveal to you. Why is that, Pastor Teresa? Why is it that my lived experience can sometimes get in the way of what God is trying to show me? Because our knowledge and our skill can lead us to relying on ourselves and not on God. We had a similar conversation this morning in Sunday school. It is hard to try to explain to someone who doesn't believe or who is newer in their faith of how God works. Well, why? Why is he doing this and not that? And why, right? Sometimes we can never know the why. But as we grow in Christ, his Holy Spirit is with us and gives us comfort that it's okay if you don't understand all the things. Trust that God is working it out for you and for the people around you. Because you have to understand this, God's true desire is that none of us be lost. He wants every single last one of us to be in restored relationship with him. And so when we read his word, we realize that all the things in our life, that means the good stuff and the bad stuff, he's going to use to help us out. He's going to use those things to even help others out. So we just have to remember that I know it's your life, but it's really not about you. And it's hard because you're like, yeah, but it's my life. I mean, it really is about me. No, not really. Because when you live like Christ did for God, God is using you to bless the people around you. And some people, you don't even know that they're watching you. But God is using you in whatever your situation is to save those other people that you're not even aware of. And is trying to build you up in your own personhood and in your spiritual walk. But it's hard to see all of that because we're busy reacting to whatever is happening in our lives. So this is where our lived experience can get in the way. Because we want to be able to figure it out. We want to logically figure all the things out. And God is like, no, I'm way too big. You'll never be able to put me into this little thing. So that, like the resources on earth, you want to control, you want to know, you want to study. I'm not that. Sorry, not sorry. I do love you. And I do care for you. And that's why I've sent my son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, to reconcile our relationship. That's what Jesus has done for us. That's what God has done for us. So we should not rely on our own knowledge, our own wisdom, our own power, but those that come from God. You know, there's this myth that we've taught ourselves, particularly here in the United States, that, you know, you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps and, and that God will reward your hard work, you know, your ability to do those things. But that's really not the case. Not really. He has empowered you for the good works that he's designed for you to do. It has nothing to do with you pulling your own self up by your bootstraps. It's his provision. It's his power that has gotten you to the place where you are. So remember those things. It's not from you. Through Jesus, we have the Spirit of God who lives in us. God's Spirit empowers us to live for God. The Spirit teaches us. It gives us godly wisdom to live by every single day. And this is how the foolishness of the message of Jesus dying on the cross is made into holy wisdom. So I close with another quote by Pastor James. The message, he says, of the cross will always be foolish to those who are looking for something more than the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But to all who are looking for him, to all who are looking for the one who saves us from our foolish ways of living, to all who are looking for the one who saves us from our sin, this foolish message of the cross is the very power of God. This foolish message of the cross is the only message that really matters. Amen. So let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for your holy word. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for allowing us this time to meditate on the message of the cross once again and consider how that message becomes our power and becomes our wisdom. Help us to trust you for salvation for today in this present life, but also for the salvation in the world to come. We ask these things because we know it's your will. It will bring you glory, and we need your power to make it so. In your holy name we pray it. Amen. All right. I believe we are going to now close with a hymn that we get to select. Okay, we got a taker already. 525. What's the name of the hymn, Tony? Trust and obey. Oh. All right.
5:35. All right. Want to stand?
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen.
Amen. Let us continue to trust and obey. Remember the words that God has spoken to us, that he shared with us. I know we haven't memorized, at least I haven't memorized the whole Bible, but whatever verses that you have managed to memorize, that you are familiar with, let them carry you throughout this very week. Because it may not be you who needs it. It might be someone that God places in your path this week, who needs some encouragement, who needs a prayer, who needs someone to show them love. And what better thing to do than to show them the love of God? Amen?
Amen.
So go, my brothers, my sisters, my siblings in Christ, being reminded that the Holy Spirit is with you, to empower you and give you holy wisdom. Until we meet again, go in God's peace and his grace. Until next time.